Good morning again. Thank you for being with us here this the Sunday of September 11th. You know, I don't believe perhaps for the rest of my life, or perhaps even for the lives of my children, we will come to September 11th and not at least for a moment as a nation pause to reflect on the events of 9/11. Now, that's not to say that we continue mired in the events of 9/11. I think it's far better that we as a people consider how we have overcome, how we've grown, what we've learned, how it has helped us as a nation to be a people who know that we can overcome great adversity. And so it is in that vein that we come to Jesus's text that he is talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees about today, and that is the notion of how one overcomes something that is a great evil. And in today's gospel lesson, as is oftentimes the case, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are criticizing Jesus. Now, we know that they love to criticize Jesus for a variety of different reasons, but the one thing they almost never criticized him about was his theology. It wasn't like the Pharisees and the Sadducees were on one side saying one thing about God, and Jesus was on the other side saying something different. Oftentimes when they would ask Jesus a question about theology, he would give an answer that they literally could not refute. Likewise, when Jesus would say something to them, more often than not, they would give a theological answer that was in par with what he was saying. It was in what they did with that theology that they vastly differed. And this is where we come to today's text. The Pharisees and the Sadducees say to Jesus, "We've noticed that you are eating with sinners and tax collectors." Now, sinners are bad enough, but of course, in ancient Israel, tax collectors are worse. Not only are these people who are probably engaged in some fairly bad immoral behavior, we know that one of the things tax collectors would do was they would collect tax that was unfair. They would basically say to people, "This is how much you owe in taxes, and I want an extra 50% for me. And if you don't pay that, I'm going to have the Roman legion basically come and break your kneecaps." It was extortion. And so they were hated for a lot of different reasons. So Jesus is eating with them. And again, different context here. This isn't just Jesus and the tax collectors both happened to be at Arby's at the same time and they sat down at a table to eat a roast beef sandwich. This is a lot more complicated. In fact, almost a little hard to put in modern parlance, but I'm going to say it this way. You know, there's a big difference between saying to someone, "Hey, do you want to go grab a burger with me at Applebee's?" and inviting someone to Thanksgiving dinner. The one is just you're both at a restaurant having a burger. The other one is personal. It's intimate. You are becoming a part of the family for Thanksgiving. And that might be something warm and welcoming. It might also be something uncomfortable and awkward. But it is nonetheless something that includes being a part of the inner circle of someone's family. In Jesus's day in the Middle East, and in many ways still today, if you sit down to a meal with someone, there is that expectation of that Thanksgiving meal closeness, that you are becoming a part of their inner circle and they're becoming a part of your inner circle. So when Jesus actually eats with tax collectors and sinners, he's letting them into his intimate personal space. He's basically becoming family with them for the duration of the meal. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees are like, "Why would you do that?" And it comes down to sin. And it's not like the Pharisees and the Sadducees say, "Oh, those people are sinners. They're wrong." And Jesus says, "Oh, it doesn't matter. Everybody sins. It's no big deal. God doesn't really care about that." That's not what's happening here. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and Jesus both understand God's law the same way. They both understand God's law as condemning us rightfully of the things that we've done wrong. And they both understand that that state is called sin and that it is not acceptable in God's eyes. It's what both sides choose to do with it that are drastically different. The Pharisees and the Sadducees choose to use sin as the opportunity to shake a finger, the opportunity to look down on their neighbor, the opportunity to actually condemn their neighbor to a life of seclusion, to exclude them in all ways, shapes, and form, to basically say, you're bad people. Until you can be good people, you can't be a part of our life. Jesus, on the other hand, goes the opposite direction. Quite literally, he goes to the bad people. And it's not like he comes to eat with the Pharisees or with the tax collectors and the sinners and says, hey, I hear you guys are tax collectors and sinners. It's fine by me. I don't care. It's all good. No. We know, in fact, that when Jesus encounters tax collectors, he's much more likely to say something like, stop extorting people. Stop taking more than is your fair share. Stop being cruel. We know that he would say this sort of thing because when Jesus is questioned by tax collectors on how they are to behave, it's exactly what he says. So Jesus goes to them and he's not soft-pedaling their nature. He's not saying, oh, you're not sinners. He's saying, I'm here because you're sinners. But there's something more to his message. He says, I'm here because you're sinners and I want to bring you home. And then he tells these two stories to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The story about people who are going to retrieve the lost. And I love the story about the shepherd who goes to retrieve the missing sheep. Because it begins with, once upon a time there was a shepherd who left 99 of his sheep in the wilderness. Which, if you ask me, sounds like perhaps a risky behavior. Basically, the shepherd says to the sheep, you guys are okay, right? You're on your own. I'm going to go get this missing guy. I'll be back. And he goes out. And I love that there's not like he says to the sheep, hey, sheep, I know you're off on your own and you're doing your own thing. And that's just fine. You do you. You live your truth. But, you know, we'd love it if you'd, like, come be with the herd. No. He goes and he takes the sheep and he puts it on his shoulders and he hauls it home. And he basically says, bad sheep, you're coming home. So Jesus says, this is what I'm doing with tax collectors. I've gone and said, hey, Pharisees, Sadducees, you guys are fine on your own. You just stay right there. I'll be right back. And I went to get them. And this is the fundamental difference between the way Jesus uses the correct theological interpretation of sin and the Pharisees abuse the correct interpretation of sin. They both understand sin as human brokenness that brings us apart from God and apart from one another. The Pharisees want to use as an opportunity to basically pat themselves on the back. Say, what a good boy am I. Justify themselves. Jesus wants to use it as an opportunity to bring forward God's gracious nature and to offer the gift of forgiveness, renewal, and new life to someone who doesn't have any of those things. And this brings us to our function in the kingdom of God. First and foremost, we find ourselves in the story. And as much as we'd like to find ourselves in the role of Jesus Christ, the reality of the fact is you're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. No one you will ever meet in your life, with the singular exception of the Almighty Son of God, is Jesus Christ. So you and I, we're not in the role of Savior. We might find ourselves in the role of Pharisee or Sadducee, and that's probably a very bad thing. Let's face it, they're the villains in this story. In all likelihood, we're more likely to find ourselves in the role of the tax collectors, of the sinners, of those who have been redeemed by the grace of Jesus Christ. We are the people hearing God's message saying to us, oh, by the way, you're a sinner, which our only righteous response to is, yes, you're right. And then the message of God continues on to say, and you are forgiven on behalf of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, offered new life through the Holy Spirit in order that you might live beyond your broken state, for which our only response is, thank you. See, that's the difference. We're not called to be those who are self-justifying. We're called to be those who have been justified, not by our own power or strength or self-righteousness, but by the grace of Jesus Christ. And now, I said earlier, we're not Jesus. That's totally true. However, we are also the voice of Christ. We are those who say to the broken of this world, hey, you who are broken, I'm broken too. Hey, you who are sinners, I'm a sinner too. It's not okay that I sin. It's not okay that you sin. But it's also important to know that I've been forgiven, that I stand in the presence of God the Father in a renewed relationship that is for now and forever. And that same thing is offered freely to you. We are those who speak the truth that Christ has given us in order that others might be found and brought home by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, it's still Jesus going to get the lost sheep. We're just the one conveying the message. So I say to you this Sunday, where do we stand? Do we stand with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, looking down on the broken of this world, shaking our fingers and patting ourselves on the back and saying, oh, look how righteous we are? Or do we stand with the broken, rightfully pointing out their brokenness? Do we stand with the sinners, rightfully pointing out their sin, but more importantly, pointing out the grace of Jesus Christ that overcomes it? Because that is where we belong. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the voice of Christ in this world. We are the one that points to the grace of Christ. We are living roadmaps to the cross of Jesus Christ. May we never forget this.